Hello, awesome humans, and welcome to today's episode of the Awesome Human Podcast. I'm Natalie, your host, and I'm so grateful you're here. As a quick reminder, we record this podcast with a live virtual audience, so you will hear me respond to questions and comments. If you'd like to join me for Awesome Human Hour Live, I would love it. It's every Wednesday at noon Eastern, and you can sign up by going to happier.com and clicking on Awesome Human Hour. Now, before we dive into today's topic, just take a moment to arrive to this moment right now. This time is for you, and I hope you find today's episode really valuable.
All right, awesome humans. Here we are. Welcome to Awesome Human Hour. Welcome to your Wednesday, or whenever you are listening to this. We are now live on Zoom. I'm double checking we're live on Facebook. And of course, if you're listening as part of the Awesome Human Podcast, welcome everyone. Love our time together. Grateful for everyone who is here live in Zoom. And as a reminder, if you are listening as a podcast, you can always join with our live audience on Zoom. Just go to nataliecogan.com, go to Awesome Human Hour, and it's free to register, and then you can join live. So thank you to everyone who's here live. Would you please say hello in chat? It's always a great way to begin. You can tell us where you are Zooming in from. And we are going to start. We always start the same way. I'm going to ask you to connect to the good in yourself, which is something most of us do not do enough. So whether you are here on Zoom or you're listening, take a moment and complete the sentence. Today, I'm an awesome human because, and type the answer in chat. If you're listening as a podcast, say it to yourself. Today, I'm an awesome human because. To everyone who's watching this as a recording on YouTube, you can put it in the comments. Today, I'm an awesome human because. I remind you every time we get together every month for our show that our inner critics, our inner judges get enough airtime, and we're all fantastic at criticizing ourselves, and most of us are terrible at recognizing the good in ourselves. And when you recognize the good in yourself, when you embrace your awesome human, which is awesome and human, you actually are able to give so much more to others. You're able to shine your light so much brighter. So today I'm an awesome human because. I love if you are here on Zoom, I love the chat exploding with the responses. I'm gonna share my today, I'm an awesome human because, but our topic today is something really beautiful. Today we're gonna talk about the art and science of kindness. And it's something that we have not dedicated, I've not dedicated Awesome Human Hour or an episode of the Awesome Human Podcast in too long. So that's what we're going to dive into today. I actually just came back. I was in Kansas City. If anyone here is from Kansas City, I was in your hood yesterday, and I gave a keynote to 400 awesome humans about the power of kindness. And so I want to share some of what I shared with them with you. I think it's really, really timely. So we're going to talk about the art and science of kindness. I promise you to give you a very fresh take on how to make kindness a priority. And for the second half of the show, we're going to have an awesome human join us. Her name is Julie Schechter, and she is a founder of two different companies that focus on helping people strengthen relationships at work and at home, including one which is all about picking the right gift, which I think is really timely for the holidays. So that's our plan for the show. Again, thank you everyone for being here. I'm gonna share, someone reminded me last time that I did not share my today, I'm an awesome human because. So let me do it with you. Let's see. Today, I'm an awesome human because it's been a really tiring week. I was in DC on Monday visiting one of our longtime Happier at Work clients. If you are here and we saw each other on Monday, it was a gift. And then I flew to Kansas City to do a keynote. And then I got home really late last night, so I'm wiped. But I'm an awesome human because I took the morning off. So I had to honor the humanness in myself. I did not catch up on email. I did not catch up on my to-do list. And the awesome part is that that gave me the energy to be with all of you now, and I have another talk after. And I share this because when I call you all awesome humans, I mean something very specific by that. You are awesome, you have so much to contribute and something so unique to give, but you're also human, which means you don't have unlimited energy. You can't do all things perfectly or all things always. And so that's what our show and all my work is dedicated to, is embracing both. honoring our humanness to unleash your awesomeness. So that's why I'm an awesome human today. I love seeing all of your responses come in, and I'm so grateful that I see some new folks joining us. I see some names I've seen many times before. Everyone is welcome. The thing I want to ask you to do is don't just answer this question of why you're an awesome human today or whenever you join me for the show. Make it a practice to do it every day. Make it a practice to connect to the humanness in yourself and the awesomeness in yourself and recognize it out loud to you. Some of you may know because you follow me on social. And if you don't, I'm a pretty good follow, as the kids say these days. So I'm Natalie Kogan on Instagram and LinkedIn. Those are probably the two places. I'm on Instagram most of the time and then LinkedIn often. Those are my two favorite social networks. But if you follow me, you know that a couple of weeks ago, I turned in the final draft of the Awesome Human Journal, which is an interactive journal based on my book, which is the giant covers right behind me, The Awesome Human Project. And in the book, in the journal, I cannot wait to share it with you. The whole thing is illustrated. I illustrated the whole thing myself. It's hand-drawn and handwritten. If any of you are here who are part of my little mighty Awesome Human Journal working group, I can't wait to share. You guys will get the first peek, but everyone will get peek soon. And the journal is a combination of daily practice pages and then different practices. It's about 80% new material, by the way. I was gonna, the publishers and my vision was to base it on the book. Well, I don't know, I'm creative. So it's 80% new things. But there's the daily pages for daily practice, and then there's all these kind of other practices and notes to self and neuroscience lessons and all kinds of things. And on your daily pages, every day, I ask you to complete the sentence. Today, I'm an awesome human, because it is really, really important. It's part of practicing kindness towards yourself. That's my, did you like my leeway into the topic of today? Again, welcome. We've had so many new folks join just in the last 10 minutes. You are never late to Awesome Human Hour. You're exactly on time. Thank you for being, and thank you for being here. I love all the excitement about the journal. I'm seeing some comments in chat. That's so great. I love it. You guys are my fuel. I'm going to start sharing pages. It will be printed in color inside, which is also very exciting. So once I start seeing some design pages from the publisher, I will start sharing them with you. It's probably the most creative and the hardest thing I've ever done. I definitely bit off more than I thought I could chew, but I figured it out. And it comes out next October. So it comes out in October of 2023. I really, really cannot wait to share it with you. My husband, Avi, who, if you've been with me for a while, you've seen him, you hear about him. He's been with me, we've been together for 27 years. So he's seen every kind of project I've done, book or otherwise. And when he looked through it, he said, this is the best work you've ever done. So that's he's my mirror. So I can't wait to share it. So let's dive in and let's talk about the art and science of kindness. Julie Schechter, as I mentioned, will be joining us about halfway through. And we'll focus then on talking to her about strengthening relationships at work and at home. So I'm going to start with a story. And it's a story from about a girl named Kiara. I met Kiara in eighth grade, so I have not seen Kiara in 32 years, but I've never forgotten her. So as many of you know, I grew up in the former Soviet Union, and I came to the United States as a refugee with my parents when I was a teenager. And it was really rough. I didn't speak English. I couldn't understand anything that was going on at school, which was really painful because I was used to being a really good student. We lived in the projects. Things were rough. And so I was in eighth grade at Scarlet Middle School, right outside of Ypsilanti in Michigan, which is about half an hour, 40 minutes from Detroit, if anyone's from there. And I was in physics class, which originally I was really excited about because I was really good at science, but I quickly realized that the teacher wasn't writing very much on the board. So I really couldn't understand what was going on. And it felt really awful. Like, I remember feeling so like alone and scared. And I don't know, I didn't know what to do. I was trying to follow, but I didn't have enough language. And my desk mate was this girl named Kiara. We had little name tags for as we started school. And about halfway through the class, Kiara did something magical. Kiara took her notebook where she was writing down notes that the teacher was saying, and she slid it across the desk so that I could see it too. That was it. That was the tiny act of kindness from Kiara and for me. I still get goosebumps talking about it. I got goosebumps talking about it on stage. It was an enormous gift of a lifeline because I went from feeling so scared and so alone to feeling like this person next to me, I didn't know who she was. I didn't have enough language to even say hello, but that person really cared about me and tried to help me. And then from then on in physics class, Kiara would, she would write kind of to her side so that the notebook was somewhere where I could see it. I haven't seen Kiara since. I do not know her last name. I have never forgotten that moment, that act of kindness. And I bet that all of you who are listening have a story like that, or many stories like that, where someone did something seemingly small that was really kind, that meant a lot to you. And if you're here live, please share your kindness story in chat. I know we all have these stories because that is the power of kindness. There is no such thing as a small act of kindness, because every time that we are on the receiving end of someone's kindness, of someone's humanity, of someone doing something to help or elevate us in some way, what it for us, it is never small, because what it helps us feel is a sense of belonging. And as human beings, after we have some food and shelter, the next thing that is our fundamental human need is to feel that we belong. It is like oxygen. We cannot function without it. We are social beings. And so every act of kindness reminds us that we are not alone. And that's what I felt that day with Kiara. That's the gift she gave me for the rest of my life. And like I said, we all have those stories where maybe it was a stranger, maybe it was someone in our life and they did something seemingly small, but it meant so much to us, because there is no such thing as a small act of kindness. Because every act of kindness helps us to feel that we belong. And, you know, kindness has this, we think of kindness as selfless, and it's not selfless at all, because the biggest gift of doing something kind is actually to you, the person doing it. When you do something kind, the biggest gift is to you. Think about how great it feels to do something helpful for someone else, or to cheer someone up, or just to be there for someone. How good does it feel? Well, there's a reason for that. Every time you do something kind, it could be really, really small. And like I said, there's no actually such thing as a small act of kindness, but every time you do something kind, your brain releases oxytocin. What is oxytocin? Oxytocin is a neurotransmitter that is a hormone, and it makes us feel good. When you hug someone, sometimes oxytocin is known as a hug hormone. So when you hug someone, we release oxytocin. It is known as kind of its nickname is, it's the drug of connection. We feel connected. And every time you do something kind, your brain releases oxytocin. Think about that. Your brain rewards you for doing something kind. And when we release oxytocin, we feel connected. We feel good. So the biggest gift to you when you do something kind is that feeling. Kindness is not a selfless act. Kindness has tremendous power. Oxytocin doesn't just make you feel good. Research shows that oxytocin reduces blood pressure, reduces anxiety, helps you to better manage stress. It's medicine. So doing something kind is not selfless. It is actually fueling yourself and healing yourself as much as the other person. You know, and there's research, for example, in the workplace that shows that employees who do more kind things towards their colleagues are much happier and more satisfied with their jobs than those who do less. The gift of kindness, the biggest gift, is to you. The other person, the recipient of your act of kindness, also their brain releases oxytocin. They also feel connected. They also feel less alone. But there's now even, they've done research that shows that simply observing an act of kindness or hearing about it also releases oxytocin. So when I shared my story about the kind thing that Kiara did for me, all of your brains released oxytocin. Think about it. Didn't it feel good to listen to that little story? I saw all these hearts and all these emojis fly across my screen. It felt good, right? Because you were witnessing my story. To our brain, a story or something in real life is the same. You were witnessing an act of kindness. So think about that. Think about the power of a single act of kindness. Doing something kind makes you feel good and connected. Your brain releases oxytocin. The person on the receiving end has the same benefits. They feel less alone. Their brain makes them feel good. Anyone observing it, also their brain releases oxytocin. They're also feeling more connected. That is the power of a single act of kindness. So I never want to hear anyone talk about a small act of kindness. There is no such thing, and it is never selfless. However, there is one really, really important part that I do want to highlight about doing something kind. So if you're familiar with my work, I teach 5 emotional fitness skills, and one of them is intentional kindness. And here's my definition. Intentional kindness is doing something kind and compassionate towards another person and not expecting anything in return. That is a really important part. They've done studies on people where they hook them up to functional MRI machines, and they're able to observe that when you do something kind, even saying something kind to someone else, if you're just doing it because that's what you genuinely want to do, your brain rewards you with all the good things we just talked about. But if you're doing it to get something back, if you're doing it because you're expecting something to come back, your brain does not release oxytocin. You cannot lie to your brain. Your brain knows if your act of kindness is genuine or if you're just doing it to get something back. And you know, when I started to be more intentional in my practice of kindness, and I share this in my book, I thought I got to that place where it just felt like I was high on kindness. It just felt really good. And often it was really simple things, like instead of grabbing my coffee at Starbucks and just being super efficient and walking away, I would look at the barista and I would say, thank you so much. Or, you know, when I would check in at hotels, I still do this. I make sure, like when I'm checking in, I say, how are you? How's your day going, to the receptionist? And I thought I wasn't expecting anything. And then with some introspection, I realized that I was. Any guesses for what we might, even when we think we're not really expecting anything, often we are expecting something. What do you think that is? I just want you to take a moment. It's a thank you. I was expecting a thank you. Like there was a part of me that was waiting for a thank you. And it is really important in your intentional practice of kindness that you release all expectations of what comes back to you in return. Because remember, you've already gotten the gift. You've already gotten the benefit. The benefit is in being kind, in doing the kind act. That's it. And I think that is, there are 2 things I want to talk about, 2 things that hold us back from being practicing kindness as much as we, I think, all would like. And I think one of them is that we feel kind of, we do something kind, the person doesn't reciprocate. We feel like, oh, I didn't, you know, the person didn't react the way I wanted, so I'm going to do it less. I think that's often the case. But I think the biggest barrier to us practicing more kindness, more intentional kindness, is a much simpler explanation. It is not that we're unkind humans. I think we don't dedicate enough effort and attention to practicing kindness because we get busy. We live in a world where all of our to-do lists are really long. If there's anyone here who has a really short to-do list, I'd love to meet you, right? All of our to-do lists are really long. There's so much competing for our time. Like, I don't remember the last time I talked to anyone where it wasn't like, hey, how is it going? And the person's like, yeah, oh, I'm so busy. Like, we're all really busy. And we also live in a world that tells us that, you know, it's really important to get stuff done. And I love getting stuff done. I love getting stuff done. I love working hard. I think there is such beauty, like life worth, in working hard. I love all of that. But I think increasingly we live in a world where that puts that above everything else. And so our kindness gets lost. We get so busy trying to get stuff done and just keep up, and we get stressed out. I think that's the other thing that gets in the way. We get so stressed out that we just kind of get into the survival mode that we don't prioritize kindness. And so my invitation to you today is to treat kindness as an intentional daily practice. So, you know, there's this expression in the United States, like random acts of kindness. To be honest, I really dislike it. Because it makes it something that, oh, I'm, you know, just whenever, like, I'll just do it whenever I feel like it. Well, if you're really busy and really stressed out, you may not feel like it. So I think it is more important to treat it as a daily practice. Intentional kindness is a skill, and it is something that you strengthen by practicing it daily. So a couple ways that I want to suggest to you to do it. And then I really want to read some of the kindness stories that folks have put in chat, but I want to suggest some specific ways that you can make kindness more of a priority. And the first one is, this might sound weird, but put it on your to-do list. All kinds of things are on your to-do list, right? Finish this project, do this, pick this up, go shopping this, help kids with homework, whatever it is. Kindness belongs on your to-do list. You know, I did this keynote yesterday, and whenever I looked at the audience when I said, put it on your to-do list, and some people were like, that feels weird. Why is it weird to put kindness on our to-do list? Why is that more weird than to put a project? And so put it on your to-do list, like on your daily priorities, put do something kind, and then use that as your lens as you go through your day to identify opportunities to do something kind. And what are some kindness acts? Again, I don't want to say they're small because they have such impact. And by the way, most of us underestimate how much a simple act of kindness will mean to someone else. But it can be holding the door for someone. When you greet someone virtually or in person, being fully present, being enthusiastic. That's actually, I want to share one of my favorite ways to practice kindness. Is I try to greet people really enthusiastically. So when I do a lot of prep, like whenever I'm gonna speak somewhere, I do a prep call where we talk about the topic and I get to know the company, and I just make it a point. Like I get to the call and like I try to be really genuinely enthusiastic. When I like check in at hotels, I try to greet the person with enthusiasm because that feels really good. It acknowledges the person. So that's a really simple thing, but I really make it a priority, right? It could be so many other simple things, but if you make it a daily priority and use that as your lens for your interactions, it becomes something you are doing consistently. You know, there's a lot of teams and leaders that I work with, and there's nothing more powerful than as a team, or if you lead a team, to make it a point to think about like, what is something that I can do today to fuel or help or just elevate one of my colleagues or someone on my team? You will know the answer, but you have to ask the question. I want to share, and this story is in my first book, Happier Now, but I have a friend, his name is Hitton, and he lives in California. He's a very, very successful entrepreneur. He runs several companies. He's got a young son. He's got elderly parents that he takes care of. He's really busy, really, really busy. But if you ever need something from Hitton, even like a piece of advice or just run something by him, he's always available. Like you send him an email, he's not that person who's not going to answer it for 2 days. He answers the email. He answers your text. So I asked him, I said, Hitton, how do you do it? Like I interviewed him for my last book. I said, how do you do it? And he said, well, something happened a couple of years ago that completely reset how I think about this. He said that he has a good friend who lives across the country, and his friend's mom passed away, and his friend called him to ask him to come to the funeral. And Hitton said, you know, I immediately dropped everything that I was doing. I told people I wasn't available, and I booked a ticket and I flew across the country. And on the plane, he said, I was thinking about, why do we do that when things go wrong? Like when something bad happens, right? None of us think like, oh, my to-do list is too long to go support my friend. But when things are normal, we say, oh, well, I got too many things to do. I'll check in with my friend later. And we deprioritize kindness. And Hitton said, from that moment on, he made a commitment and he made a decision. And I think most really important things in life start with a decision that he wasn't going to make kindness secondary to getting stuff done or to go to meetings. And that's been his guiding principle. And it really shows as someone who knows him. And so I want to offer you, I promise to offer you a fresh lens on making kindness a priority. And this is actually something, we don't have enough time to go fully into it, but it's something that I've been practicing for a long time, but I've not talked about for no other reason than and a lot of other things to talk about. But I actually gave, I have a TED Talk, a TEDx for those of you who may not know, so just search my name, and it's about gratitude and happiness. But I've actually done another one that doesn't have a video, which is very interesting because something happened, but it was for a local university. It was for Boston College TEDx. And I did it 5 years ago. It was the year my grandma passed away. My grandma prioritized kindness above everything else. And it was really interesting. They asked me to do the talk at the last minute. I was going to say no. I was really busy, but I did it in honor of my grandma. And I think there was a reason that it wasn't recorded. Their equipment went haywire and it did not record the TED Talks. And I think there was a reason, because I think my talk was just really for my grandma. But what I talked about is what I'm kindness, and I'm going to offer you this kind of one core thing that is really something that it's been something that's been a kind of a guiding principle for me that I want to offer to you. And it's a daily question. And if you know my work, you know that I love kind of these daily reflection questions. And by the way, the Awesome Human Journal I talked about has a lot of reflection questions. But, you know, at the end of the day, think about when you're going to work, when you're going to bed, what are you thinking about? Like, our mind just races, right? Like, okay, I didn't get this done, or I forgot to do this, or tomorrow I got to do this, right? We get into this mindset of like doing what I didn't do. Did I do enough today? Did I accomplish enough? So I want to give you an alternative. I want to give you a different question to ask yourself. Two, actually. The first one is, did I leave a legacy of kindness today? Did I leave a legacy of kindness today? I think when we think about legacy, we think about a lifetime, right? A lifetime legacy. What is the legacy this person is leaving in their lifetime? I hear a lot of people talk about, like, in my life, I want to leave a legacy of this or that. Well, what is a lifetime? A lifetime is just a collection of days. And the best way to leave the kind of legacy that you want for your life is to leave that legacy every day. And what I really invite you to think about is, what is the kind of legacy that you want to leave today? What is the kind of legacy you want to leave with your colleagues, with your work, with people in your life? And I invite you to really consider leaving a legacy of kindness and compassion, and see what shifts in you and your life and your relationships if you make that the question that you try to live up to every day. Not how much did I get done, or, you know, did I achieve enough or accomplish enough? And again, those are all important things, but just what would shift in your priorities, in what you put forward in your interactions with others, if the question was, did I leave a legacy of kindness today? And to make it even more specific, because I know some of you want like a more specific action, I want to give you kind of a subset question for that. How do you know if you left a legacy of kindness, right? Like, how do I know? Well, here's my measure that I'm just sharing with you. Did I positively impact one person today? That's it. If you positively impacted one other person, you have left a legacy of kindness. That's it. So this is my invitation to do. This is my takeaway for you. And I would really love to hear from you after a couple weeks or after a couple days, after you've been practicing this, what are you noticing that might be shifting? And by the way, I always give you my email. It's nataliek@happier.com, or you can email team@happier.com and share what are you noticing. Because I can tell you that focusing on these questions has not made me any less achievement oriented, has not made me into a lazy person. I still get a lot of things done, but having my metric of a successful day, of a successful daily legacy be, did I positively impact one other person today? That's made a huge difference. And it's made a huge difference in ways that maybe I didn't even anticipate. It's guided some of my efforts. It's guided some of my interactions. So that is my invitation to you, is at the end of the day, instead of how much did I get done or how much did I accomplish, what if you ask yourself, did I leave a legacy of kindness today? And how do you know if you did? Did I positively impact one person? If you positively impacted one person, you've left a legacy of kindness. So that's my takeaway for you. That's my action for you. I always try to give you a practice. So this is my practice. And again, I'd love to hear how it's going. And perfect timing. Julie, I'm going to spotlight Julie. There we are. Perfect timing. Julie has joined us. And Julie, welcome to Awesome Human Hour.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
Thank you. No, thank you so much for being here. So you are here with about 160 plus people live on Zoom, Awesome Humans live on Zoom and on Facebook. And this is also going to be released as a podcast episode. So hello. Welcome, Julie, also to the Awesome Human Podcast. So great to have you. I gave a little bit of your bio up at the top of the hour, so folks know a little bit, but I'm going to ask you about all the wonderful things you're doing. But as I shared with everyone, so Julie was introduced to me by a really good friend of mine, Fran Hauser, who Fran, if you remember, has been on the podcast before. It was about when her, I think, second book was coming out. We were talking about how to fall in love with your career. So Fran's awesome. So when Fran says you have to connect with Julie, I mean, when a good friend says that, you say yes. So Julie, today's episode is all about the power of kindness. And as a way of introducing you to the audience, you have founded two different companies that are focused on helping people strengthen their relationships at work and with people in their lives, which is obviously so core to what we're talking about. So I would love for you to tell us a little bit about that and your journey and why you're focused on that. And then I have some questions for you.
Yeah, absolutely. More than happy to talk about all of it. So the genesis for both companies really came from my own background. So I'm a two-time founder, like you mentioned, and I've been in the gifting space for years, but I started out as an attorney. I graduated from Harvard Law School and practiced at a big corporate firm for a long time and loved being a lawyer, but was really living that life of, success on paper, but just no bandwidth or time to invest in my personal relationships. And so that's really kind of where all of this came from. My first company, Small Packages, was, you know, curated care packages that you could send easily with a handwritten note, just a couple of minutes, that were geared towards all different occasions. So, you know, one for a breakup, one for a new baby, one for a fertility struggle. Just an incredibly easy way for people to connect with folks that they cared about when they couldn't be there in person and show up and take care of them. And then the newest company that my business partner, my business partner, Monica Shaw, and I are working on is called Present. And that is sort of the relationship management technology that I think many of us need. So the idea is that we're taking, you know, this big meaty exercise of building a relationship and being really thoughtful and really invested in the people that you care about. And because we're all so overwhelmed, breaking that down into these little bite-sized chunks that can kind of fit easily into our day and in the time that we have that perhaps right now we're spending on Instagram or TikTok or.
Yeah. Well, I love that, Julie. You know, what I was talking about a little bit earlier in the show was our biggest impediment to being more kind, to practicing more kindness and connection is not because we're mean people. We're all naturally wired to reach out and connect and be kind, but because we are so overwhelmed and so busy and so stressed out that it just doesn't rise to the top. So I love that idea of breaking it down. But can we talk about gifts for a moment? Because I actually, I just have to like come clean to you. So I write about this in my book that for most of my life, I looked at kindness. I thought about kindness as not small acts of kindness, but grandiose acts of kindness. And for me, the way that I expressed kindness was like to make extravagant gifts for my friends and family. And I do mean make. I mean, I am creative. It's all my art behind me, as folks know. But and the reason I mention that is I really have learned how much impact simple everyday acts of kindness can be. But let's talk about gifts, because I do think that sharing a meaningful gift or a small gift is, it is my love language. It's some people's. I think it makes us feel really special, especially in the world of everything digital. And I'll just give you an example on that. I'd love for you to share just some thoughts around like, how to infuse our gifts with meaning and love and kindness. But my daughter, Mia, who's at college, she's a freshman at college, and you know, she's a digital generation, right? Like everything is digital. But one of my friends, who they've been friends Mia's whole life, when she got to college, sent her it was like a little satchel with some tea in it and a note, good luck. And Mia was like, oh my God, this is so sweet. And it was really small, but it's because it was physical and thoughtful. So how, I'd love for you to talk about, like, how do we, you know, because we're in a time of year, I love we're talking now. It's like so much stress, gifts, gifts, gifts. You know, it's like all becomes another thing to do, another source of stress. Can you offer us some suggestions for how to actually make it a meaningful, kind fueling exercise versus another thing to check off the list?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think your story about Mia really illustrates it, right? Like the most primary element I can say is demonstrating knowledge of the other person, right? So demonstrating via whatever you're giving as a gift that you are thinking about the person, not that you necessarily have to be keeping, you know, that notes file on your phone all the time and jotting down everything they say, although that is a good trick. But just that you are aware of what's going on in their life. Like that's kind of why we modeled all of our gifts on small packages to be occasion-based, because it means so much to someone to get something that's geared specifically for what they're going through at that moment, whether it's a celebration or a moment where they really need to be cheered up, et cetera. So I would say focusing on what you know about them, what they're going through right now. And then again, sounds corny, but just the note itself. So much. I think a lot of us save those, you know, like even just a couple of words that are handwritten and coming from you really turn into a treasure for a lot of people, because it's an indication that somebody out there that you care about, like, took the time, sat down, thought of you. And because we are digital natives, or becoming increasingly so, we have so few of those things. Like we have so little that we can physically hold on to. And long after she's drunk the tea, I'm sure she'll still have that note.
I love that, Julie. Actually, I wanna ask you a follow-on question, but you said something. So one of my, there are two movies that, actually, this is a fun break to share. So you know that question, like you're going to the desert island, what are two movies you bring with you? So my husband and I are crazy movie lovers. So I always say, well, which category, you know? But one of my absolute favorite movie, to which I know most words, is American President.
Okay.
With Michael Douglas and Annette Bening. And there's a scene in it right at the beginning of their kind of courting relationship where he sends her a turkey or a ham, Virginia ham, because that's Virginia, she's in Virginia. And the assistant, the delivery person who brings it to her, and was like, and he wrote the note himself. And all the staff were like, no, there's no way. And she's like, made the delivery person wait while he wrote the note. And that was the thing, right? Like, I remember that. So I love that you're focusing on the note. I actually have a real life example. So someone in our community sent me a really meaningful gift. But what I keep on my desk is the note. Like, this is the note that I keep on my desk. The gift is cool, but this is what I keep with me. And so I love your focus on the note. And I had an idea. I don't know what you think. When you were talking about focus occasions and focusing on what people are going through, you know, maybe that's why holiday gifts are hard, because just because it's Hanukkah, like we celebrate Hanukkah or Christmas, that's kind of impersonal. That isn't connected to the person. So do you have some thoughts about how to, like, go beyond that instead of like, I got to get my friend a Christmas gift, I don't know what she wants?
Yeah. I mean, that kind of is the tough part, right? It is sort of arbitrary in some way, even though theoretically we're planning for it all year and we know that it's coming. So I would say just sort of throw those expectations out the window in terms of what a Hanukkah gift or a Christmas gift looks like, unless you're dealing with little kids who tend to have some expectations about what things are going to be. If we're setting them aside for the moment, I think most people would be delighted the more you err on the side of, like you were saying, homemade or thoughtful. Or I think there are so few expectations that we actually really hold for coming from friends or other adult family members. You know, we just want to feel seen. The thing itself is not that important.
I think that's such a beautiful reminder, Julie, to let go of expectations. You know, Mia, my daughter, Again, everyone here is familiar with me bringing her up all the time. Do you guys want to know that she's home from college in 6 days? Okay, I just need to get that out there. Thanksgiving. So I remember it was over the summer, one of the friends that she has had a birthday coming up, and she was like, I don't know what to get her. I don't know what she wants. And I was like, well, why don't you think about things she likes and just figure out something she may like? And, you know, we have, it's the expectation, right? I have to get the person something they want. But our best gifts are not things we want, because if you want something, you probably buy it. Right. Or unless it's a kid, right? I want this toy. That was a good, we've got to carve them out.
Sure, carve out, yeah.
More about, like, from what you know about that person, what is something that you want to give? And I think what you shared is really powerful, because a gift is something we give. It's not fulfilling a need. It is fulfilling our desire to help the person know we care about them. So it really does have to, it's more not what they need or what they prefer, but from what we know about them, what is something we can add to their life?
Yeah, exactly. My other little trick that's sort of in that same vein is helping people know that you see them by gifting them something that's an upgrade of something that they use all the time.
Oh,
right?
Fun.
So if somebody is a real t-shirt guy, maybe you buy them like the most luxurious version that they would never buy themselves. Same thing goes for sunglasses and, you know, mugs or whatever it happens to be that's a staple of that person's daily life. That's another great way of, if you want to actually get them something and you don't have time to make it or whatever, you're still demonstrating that you see them and you're aware of what's going on in their world.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I love, of course, you said t-shirt guy. I immediately thought of my husband, who, you know, has a collection of roughly 1,005 t-shirts. But anytime, so I do a little bit different. Wherever I travel to somewhere where there is a cool t-shirt shop, like I get a t-shirt from there and they're all kept, even if they're not like super sold, because it's something that the person has, but it's a something they couldn't buy on their own. It's like, no, I love that. I've always thought of myself as a really good gift person, but like I've learned a lot. So I love that you're here, and I'm sure everyone else is as well, but I already have perspectives. You know, I think I want to talk about relationships and how we can kind of take it from improve a relationship or cultivate a relationship, which is like, I don't know, go to the moon. Okay. Like that's really big, and how we can think about it a little more concretely. But just one thing on the note, you know, I'm the person who gets really frustrated whenever I'm ordering something online and they only give you like a little bit of space, because I speak for a living, so I don't know how to shut up. I have a lot of words, but it's probably not about how much we write, right? I've heard from a lot of people, like some of my friends are like, well, I don't know what to put, so I just like sign my name. Any thoughts about, like, I love that you highlighted how important notes are, but if you feel that kind of, well, I don't know what to write.
My sort of go-to on that is to share a wish for the person. I hope that X happens for you this year for a birthday note. I hope that you feel a certain way or something like that. I think that ends up being a lot more personal and demonstrates a lot more investment in the person than sort of the traditional, you know, happy birthday, love, or Merry Christmas, or, you know, whatever it happens to be.
I love that. And I think it's also a really beautiful lens, right? To think about what you wish for this person and to share it for them. Again, where the point of the gift is, I care about you and I see you, and here's something I want for you. I love that. So love, like I said, I think of myself, I love gifts. I put a lot of energy into gifts, but I love it. I make a lot of them, but I've learned a lot. So thank you. So just shifting gears into the new company you're working on, just some thoughts around, you know, there's so much advice about relationships are important and cultivate relationship, and they are important, but we get busy, right? And something that I gave a keynote on kindness yesterday in Kansas City and was asked a question that I loved. I'll share it with you, and then I'm sure you'll have thoughts on it, and everybody else. Somebody asked me, you know, did the pandemic, because we were disconnected in many ways, did it encourage us or force us to come up with different ways to think about relationships and connections? And I hadn't been asked that question before. And for me, I realized that I had reconnected with two people, one from high school, one from college, actually two from college, because I had that broader lens of like just connecting out. So that was my experience. And Julie, so I wonder if you would just talk about just some maybe your core lessons or ideas around, you know, how can we fuel our relationships when we are so busy and we want to, but again, it just, you know, 77 things on the to-do list and then we're tired.
It is a real problem. Absolutely. So, I mean, that's really what we are trying to build with Present is, like we were saying before, making this big, sticky, go to the moon problem broken down into smaller pieces that just fit into our daily lives. So with Present, we're doing that with technology in a couple of different ways. You know, having the tool remind you when it's time to reach out to someone, and then also be able to touch base with them, whether it's sending a gift, sending a card, sending a video, voicemail, all within the platform without leaving it. So that's what we're working on the business side. I would say even without the aid of technology, though, the main thing that we see being really helpful for folks is to sort of shift the default. So what I mean by that is if you have certain people that you find yourself constantly trying to get together with, or let's say, you know, a group of girlfriends, oh, we should have dinner, we should, you know, make sure we get that on the calendar, people's schedules don't align. Instead, choosing way, way, way far out a certain cadence that probably would work for everybody. Okay, we're going to have dinner every first Monday of the month. And then that's on the calendar and that's the default. Will everybody be able to make it every time? Of course not. Sometimes it gets moved to Tuesday, whatever it happens to be. But if you shift the default to be, I will do these things that are planned and bought in by everybody ahead of time, it just makes it so much easier to accomplish it, because then you're sort of, you know, in a behavioral science way, like setting a rule of thumb for yourself that then all you have to do is opt in instead of affirmatively do it every time.
I love that idea. Well, this specific example, but also changing your default, because that creates systems, right? Like we, whether we know them or not, we've all created systems for how we interact with people in our lives. And so it's taking a look at what is the current default and changing it. I love that. I want to talk to you a little bit about relationships in the work context. A lot of folks I work with are in a work context. Many folks have been lucky enough to go virtual. I do think it's gratitude for those of us who have been able to go virtual. But I do want to remind everyone, if you guys have a question that you want to ask me or Julie, you can pop it into chat or you can pop it into Q&A. I try to grab your comments and weave them in. So, you know, I've given a lot of talks over the past couple of years to teams and companies, and this is a question that's come up a lot, is especially for virtual teams or people who are not seeing each other as much, they've lost that sense of connection. So I'd love for you to just talk about how, give us some lenses and thoughts around our workplace relationships. What are some of those defaults we need to change? What are some ways that we can cultivate meaningful relationships at work, given that there's a lot of research that shows that our job satisfaction is dependent on whether we feel we have a friend at work. And I think something like 60% of American employees say they don't.
It's tough, and it definitely is getting harder, even though, you know, being able to work from home is such a wonderful thing from a, you know, quality of life perspective for so many of us. We really do lose something when we are not having a shared experience and being face to face with those folks. So it is tough. I think at the beginning of the pandemic, we explored the virtual happy hour about as far as it can possibly go.
Or further.
I would have to agree. So I will not be casting my ballot in favor of that. I think everybody's a little exhausted just by the amount of time that we spend on screens anyway. So my recommendation would be, what can you pull in from your own life to like share more affirmatively with the people that you are in a work context with? So what I mean by that is, so an example would be our CTO at Present. His name is Paul. has two very cute little kids and lives in a big sort of rambling property out in a rural area. And so he's always posting in our Slack channel, like, oh, look at this cool haunted cabin I found on the edge of the woods, or, oh, it's snowing. Look at the butterflies that are hatching outside our window. So we're getting this, you know, really wonderful insight into his life and what it looks like. And it sparks conversations that we would have had at the water cooler if we had one. It can still be asynchronous, and they're not forcing people to sit and stare at a screen and sip a cocktail or whatever it happens to be. So at our company, at least, that's something we really index on. Like, this communication platform is also an opportunity for us to share what's going on outside. It doesn't have to
be- really love that, you know, because when we think of cultivating relationships or doing something kind, we intrinsically think about the other person, right? Asking them, like, Julie, how are you doing? How was your weekend? We may not think that us sharing something about our lives is that act of kindness that connects us, but it is. And I really love that you brought this up. You know, one of the practices that I teach to teams and companies is to begin meetings with gratitude. Not sharing gratitude for each other, but sharing something you are grateful for. Because what that does is it's a moment of vulnerability. Like, I open up about something, you feel more connected to me. We now feel more connected as a team instead of, you know, just employees or colleagues. We feel more connected as people. And if you think about it, I was talking about this in my keynote yesterday. Like, as you said, when we are in a physical context, right, let's say we have a meeting. So as we all gather for a meeting, we're all hanging around, and I'm like, oh my God, Julie, I just went to Kansas City. I've never been to Kansas City downtown before. It was kind of crazy. It was really cold. So I'm sharing, you and I are connecting, but now we have a virtual meeting. So we're on, and we're like, okay, like, Julie, what did you do today? So we're losing that natural thing. So I love you drawing our attention that us intentionally sharing something we are grateful for in our lives, or something that's fun or new or beautiful that we've seen, is actually creating that connection. That it doesn't have to be, Julie, tell me about your day, which sometimes is like, okay, but it's more me sharing something about me, and then that invites that conversation. I really love that.
Yeah, I'm so glad. It also ends up being a lot of very cute pictures of cute little kids and dogs for us. So never going to look that gift horse in the mouth.
Well, you know, as we're talking, it again kind of brings my, just what's coming up for me is, I was talking about in the first half of the hour where we talk about kindness, we think of, and again, this is something that was something I misunderstood, that it has to be some grand thing, right? Like, but actually, if we just think of it as a moment of genuine connection with the other person that we initiate, then I think it becomes a lot more both accessible and just easier to do in a day-to-day way. So, you know, then in every conversation, what if that was a priority, that you have a moment of connection first, right? And we know from a lot of research that not only does it make us feel good, but in the work context, it makes us better at what we do, right? Doctors who prescribe a treatment with kindness and care, that treatment is more effective. Why? Because they are being human. They're creating warmth and trust, and that is essential for the patient to actually hear them. And we know when warmth and trust between two people allow the people to communicate. I spoke to salespeople yesterday. So a big part of the team I spoke to yesterday was sales. There's research that shows that when salespeople lead with kindness and care, they generate higher sales, for the same reason, because we are not, none of us are a salesperson or a CEO or founder, a speaker, author, we're people. Those are all the roles we have. And so if we think of kindness and relationships are just moments of genuine connection, and that is what connects us as people, I love that you brought that up, because that widens the lens. Then it's not some big thing I have to do. It's just, can I create a genuine moment of connection?
Absolutely. Could not agree more with all of it.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's interesting because I find in general in my work, I find, and this is true for me as a person too, we tend to underestimate the power of these small gestures of humanity, of like creating a genuine moment of connection, telling someone something you appreciate about them. These small things, we think they're not going to matter. I was just reading, there's many of these studies, but I was reading earlier this month one that showed that most people in the workplace feel that, overestimate how awkward they might feel if they like pay someone a compliment or share something they're grateful for, and underestimate how much is going to mean to the other person. You know, we overestimate, we think like, oh, that's going to be weird for me and the other person, and we don't realize how much it's going to mean to them. So I love that you're reminding us that it really is just about, like, you're a CTO, you're connecting with him as a person.
And absolutely,
that's it. That's a relationship. I love that, Julie. I wish we could chat for much longer. I'm so grateful to meet you, first of all. I'm so grateful for the wisdom and really specific ideas that you shared. I love the combination of those. And I cannot wait to see what you develop with the company, with such a wonderful mission to help strengthen relationships. I think it is our big challenge in all kinds of ways, and probably a huge priority for all of us. So thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing yourself with us. And to everyone who is here, thank you. I always say this, if you are on Zoom or listening as a podcast or watching as a recording on YouTube, thank you for being here. Thank you for making time for you. And take one thing away, take one thing you heard, make it a daily priority, lead with those moments of connection. Ask yourself at the end of the day, did I positively impact one person today? Did I leave a legacy of kindness? Imagine what we can do. I always think of the ripple effect that can happen if we all do that once a day. And yes, there's a lot of amazing stories of kindness that were shared in chat. When you get the recording, that's an extra reason to register for Zoom, because in the recording that comes tomorrow, there'll be a recording where you can go look at the chat. There were some amazing stories there. So thank you, everyone. Thank you, Julie. I hope we get to meet in person one day. And I really, really appreciate your wisdom. Thank you, everyone. I will see you. Our next Awesome Human Hour will be in early December, probably December 7th. If you are registered, you'll get an email, of course. And have a wonderful day of kindness, everyone. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Julie. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
All right, awesome humans. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of the Awesome Human Podcast. And I would love to know what resonated. What questions do you have? What are you excited to practice? So send us an email to team@happier.com. And please rest assured, if you send an email that you'd love for me to read, I will always get it in my inbox. My team will send it to me. Let's stay in touch so you can keep practicing skills to help you struggle less and thrive more in work and life. The best way to do it is to go to happier.com and subscribe to my weekly newsletter. I promise you, I would never send you spam. It's just more practices, skills, and stories to help you embrace your inner awesome human. I can't wait to see you next week.